RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Ian Beckles here on a fabulous Monday morning. Our season is over. Our Buccaneers go down to the Falcons. And, you know, I'm going to say I saw it coming. I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming in that fashion. I really, if you guys remember when Raheem Morris coached his last game in Atlanta, and I'm somebody who dabbles in, you know, betting on football a little bit. I think I know what I'm doing. Nobody does, because football is unbelievably unpredictable. But if you remember way back to when Raheem Morris was on his way out, I pounded the opposition knowing that his team quit on him. Okay, I pounded the opposition. The last game where the Bucs played in Atlanta, I want to say Josh Freeman was a quarterback at the time, and they were down, I want to say 42-7 or something like that, or to nothing, in the second quarter. And I had money against them, and I was like, this is the easiest money ever in the world. So I'm thinking, okay, Dirk Cutter's on the way out. We got a bunch of guys that aren't going to fight for him. They're going to go out there, and they're going to lay an egg. Well, the first half of that game didn't appear that way. Those guys were fighting, even in the second half of the game. I had not at any time this year seen anybody lay down. At least that means you have fighters out there. But I've also seen enough to realize that, you know, we need a change. You know, we have a Buccaneer team that is, you know, littered with talent, but not talented. Those are two different things. Now, when I'm hearing people talk about Dirk Cutter putting together a great offense, and our offense is great, our offense isn't great. Our offense has some great players on it. But consistency makes you great. All right, you can't play one half a game. And offensively, we put some points on the board this year, no doubt. But in a weird situation, because we were giving up the booty all year long defensively. So we didn't play a whole lot with the lead this year. Okay? And if you look the way Jameis played towards the end of the year, if we're going to sit here and figure out whether Jameis is going to be our leader going forward, all you got to think to yourself is, since Jameis, you know, got the reins back at the end of the season, if we played defense around him, would he be good enough? And the answer was yes, 100%. If you watched a guy that I watched yesterday on the field as a leader, as a general, you're not going to get rid of that guy. For who? No way. You think there's going to be somebody on the street better than Jameis? Put him on the street and see what happens to Jameis Winston. He's going to get gobbled up immediately. So Dirk Cutter is the one that goes down. Jason Light saves his job. You know, to me, that's, you know, that I don't think Jason Light did enough to keep his job. Okay, the fact that he retained his job doesn't change anything to me. You know the Buccaneers and the Glazers, you know, they got to go through a lot here in the next little while. And if the Glazers just fire Jason Light and just fire Dirk Cutter and just fire the whole front office, think of what they'd have to go through with a coaching. You got to go look for coaches. You got to look for front office people. It's a lot. And, you know, Jason Light being under contract for another year, that's going to make it a lot easier for the Glazers to go out and find a coach. If you have to go out and find a GM, then go out and find a coach, those are hard things to do. So the fact that he's under a contract for one more year, it doesn't drive me nuts. I don't love the job that he's done. I don't know if he knows how to build a team. And there's a difference between selecting talent and building a team. And we've been over this before. You know, the teams that, you know, stay great. And when I mean stay great, obviously we're talking about the Patriots, obviously. But you can talk about even the Baltimore Ravens, okay? The Baltimore Ravens have an attitude. They have, you know, they have a mentality. And they've had the same mentality for years. They had the same mentality with a different quarterback, Lamar Jackson. But the mentality is the same. Run the football, play defense, rush the passer, control the clock. It's easy. The Bucs haven't really had an equation since Tony Dungy left. And John Gruden inherited an equation, then he dismantled the equation, and now we're here, you know, 15 years later or so. So Jason Light's retained. Dirk Cutter's gone. You know, Dirk Cutter will be picked up somewhere. Somebody needs an offensive coordinator. And the fact that you're going to bring in a coordinator that has head coaching experience is a good thing. We thought that was going to be the same way with Mike Smith. Obviously, that didn't work out that way. But obviously, the coaches and the front office weren't on the same page. And somebody had to go. Dirk Cutter's gone. So, thank you, Dirk. I don't think Dirk stopped fighting. Although, I believe that Dirk saw the writing a long time ago. And he showed it in his body language. He showed it in his, you know, just in his eyes. And when you come out there, and, like, I listened to the Dirk Cutter show last week, I think it was. And he was speaking like he was 100% fired, okay? I don't know what's going to happen next year, if I'm going to be here or not. No head coach talks like that when they're coming back to next year. Or, I don't know how to fix this. That can't come out of your head coach's mouth. Because you know why? Because it's going to happen again. You're going to be in a situation where your team's not playing well again, and you have to have an equation to fix it. And if you don't tell anybody. And that's where Dirk Cutter was. So, you know, we have a situation here in Tampa where people are saying, well, is it a job that's a desirable job? Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? To go out there, if you're an offensive-minded head coach and somebody says, hey, look at this Buccaneer team, you are going to salivate first, then you're going to make a mess of your pants looking at the amount of talent that we have here. And if and when you come here and you figure Jameis Winston out, and I'm hearing people say, well, why do we have to work around Jameis Winston? Because that's the smart thing to do. But if you come in here and you figure Jameis Winston out and you start to win football games and you take this team to the playoffs, you're going to be a genius. You're going to be like the quarterback whisperer if you can figure Jameis out. So there's going to be a lot of coordinators, a lot of head coaches out there looking at this football team and salivating, thinking, I need a piece of that team. Now, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made in the offseason. Obviously, the big one just being made, firing Dirk Cutter. Jason Light's still there. Jameis Winston's your quarterback. I mean, I don't even know why we're wasting this breath, okay? Because of what he did in the offseason and off the field, that's really why we're talking this way. Because nobody with a quarterback of that high rating would be talking this way. Barely anybody. We're the only one. Now, I'm a Jameis apologist to a certain. I'm not 100% a Jameis apologist because I listen to Jameis apologists, and some of y'all are going a little too far. Okay, some of you guys go way too far. Like when I hear people say, "Well, it's if you put an offensive line around him and you put a running game around him and blah blah blah." Okay, that's true, but Jameis still turns the ball over a lot, and when you turn the ball over as much or more than anybody in the league in the last 4 years, that's a bad situation. Now, is it a lot of times his supporting cast? Yeah. Yesterday, he threw a pick. I didn't think that was his fault. It's something that happens. But I saw Jameis Winston yesterday that was making everybody around him better. And that's all. I think that's all we ask for as a quarterback. Throw the ball 35 times for 345 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, not his fault. I think that's a pretty damn good football game. You shouldn't even be talking about him right now. There's a lot of other situations around him. DeSean Jackson will be traded at the end of the year. You know, now that that's over, you know, I'm hearing rumors that he wasn't the best teammate, you know, sleeping in meetings, tardiness, and a lot of the bullshit. A lot of the bullshit that you don't want around when you're trying to build a program full of, you know, young, influential football players. So, you know, DeSean Jackson's going to be gone. Then you got to talk about the future of some other football players. Donovan Smith, our left tackle. I've heard rumors of putting a franchise tag on him, for God's sakes. I don't know. If they put a franchise tag on Donovan Smith, I will definitely throw up in my mouth. Good riddance. I mean, good for him for making that money. I like people making money. But if you can't find something better than that for that much money, then maybe, you know, the people in the front office aren't good enough. Now, finding a left tackle is not easy either now. There's not left tackles just floating around there. But you've had quite a few years to deal with I wouldn't say mediocrity, but no, that's not mediocrity. I don't think he's an NFL left tackle. I think he's built more like an NFL right tackle. Donovan Smith, DeMar Dotson is, you know, at the end of his rope. Adam Humphries, a free agent. Adam Humphries going to get some money, right? He's going to go get some money. Because I thought he played great this year. Don't really think he suits this system. Boy, if you give me Adam Humphries on the Patriots, or if you give me Adam Humphries with Drew Brees, or you give me Adam Humphries with Philip Rivers, man, that guy's catching 100 balls for sure. Stays healthy, stays out of trouble. I thought had a great season. So there's decisions that have to be made. Quan Alexander, you want to put a franchise tag on somebody? If he's healthy, put it on him. Okay. That's the guy you build your franchise around. That's me. I don't want to lose Quan Alexander for nothing. Defensively, they're starting to develop a little bit of an attitude, but it's not enough. Up front, I think you can basically, this is me, in the offseason, Vita V, to me, is showed me in the last six games that he has the ability to be a star, all right? He has the ability to be a star. He's way more athletic than I thought he ever could be. He's flying around the field, plays with good effort, good motor. So I see great potential in Vita going forward. JPP is our spiritual leader. So Vita V, JPP, throw the bomb on the rest of it. I think you can throw the bomb on the rest of it and start over. You know, Gerald McCoy, we can keep on saying what we want to say about Gerald McCoy. He's probably going to be gone. You got to say this before you talk about Gerald McCoy. He's a great guy. But, you know, he's not $12, $13, $14 million. Is not worth 1.5 tackles a game. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not. It's a lot of money. You talk about where you're going to move money around. You can save $13 million and all you lose is a tackle and a half a game, and that's all he's making. And we can say, well, it's leading to other stuff. What's it leading to? We've given up more yards and points than we've ever given. I mean, am I blaming just Gerald McCoy? No, but it's been a long time that we've been waiting for Gerald. We've been waiting for Gerald to come out of his shell, and that is what he is. And that is what he is. Is he a bad football player? Nope, absolutely not. Are the Bucks better with Gerald on the team? Yes. Is he worth $12, $13, $14 million? Nope. Absolutely not. If we're going to be real with it, he's just not. So the future of Gerald McCoy and the way he was talking on an interview, and almost like he sees a writing on the wall, or somebody's talked to him about his future, and he probably won't be here. So it's been a long time Gerald's been here, and I'm going to applaud Gerald for playing hard. I never ever said Gerald didn't play hard. I just didn't care for his game. I don't like everybody's style. I didn't care for his style. I just didn't think his style equated to anything. But there's a good nucleus here of what to build on. JPP got a nice bonus yesterday by getting a sack, $400,000 for his 12th sack. Good for him. You have these bonuses in, your contract. We had bonuses way back when I played. Mine were usually playing time. So if I got 80% playing time or whatever, you get bonuses. They didn't look like $400,000. Mine were more like $50,000 for 80% or something like that. I remember Lawrence Dossey in the last game of one season. I can't remember who we were playing, but it was the last game of the season, and there was probably 3 minutes left on the clock. And we're in the huddle, and it's a timeout, and Lawrence, he looks at me and he goes, if I get one more catch, I get a $100,000 bonus. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, if I get one more catch. And we were up in the game, believe it or not. And there was like 4 minutes left in the game. And I go, you get $100,000, you get one catch? He goes, yeah. And I go, Craig. He goes, Craig Erickson. I go, Craig, throw him the damn ball. He goes, Becky, we're going to run the ball. I go, listen, snap the ball, turn and throw it to Lawrence. And if you get in trouble, I'll take it. I go, I will take it. And he looks at me, I go, do it, bro. And Lawrence didn't want to say anything. long story short, Craig snapped the ball, threw it to Lawrence. He got a 2-yard gain. Lawrence got a $100,000 bonus, and he said he was going to buy me a bunch of drinks, but he never bought me no goddamn drinks. So, Lawrence Dossie, you owe me some drinks. So, it was good to see some people get their bonuses. You know, Santos as a kicker, I'd like to see him back. I don't know. I just like the kid. Like, he has a confidence to him. And when I see him step up there, I actually think he's going to make a damn kick, which is different for a Buccaneer fan. It's been a long time since we've had that. So, when I'm seeing like the Andrew Adams names pop up, you know, that's the future of this football team. But to see that team go up 17-0 yesterday, and then give it up, it was sad. Now, that being said, at the end of that game, Buccaneer fan, you know very well, and I, like I said, I had money on the Falcons. You know very well, Buccaneer fan, on that last kick, and we were sitting here at Flavor of Tampa Bay with a bunch of Buck fans, and we all look at each other, we're like, make the damn kick. What would happen if he missed a kick? Other than you losing draft picks, position, nothing. Dirk would have still been fired. Jameis would have still been quarterback. Jason Light would have still retained his job. We just would have lost draft position. So why? Why? At that point, that's not the time to fight. The rest of the game was a time to fight, and they fought. So, you know, once again, I want to applaud the team for not giving up on Dirk Cutter, because that's happened before. We've seen that. We've seen people give up on Raheem. It's happened. People pretty much gave up on John Gruden at the end. You know, or they weren't fighting for him, that's for sure. Now, that Falcons team, that's still a talented team over there. And Julio Jones, regardless of how old he is or whatever, we can't hold Julio Jones ever. Like, Julio Jones eats the Buccaneers up every single time. And they showed a statistic of teams he's beaten up the most, and the Buccaneers are number one. It's average 120 yards a game. And yesterday he had 138, 9 catches. Julio Jones is a beast. He's a beast to look at, and he's a beast on the football field. And, you know, the Falcons, they ended the season with 3 wins. Is that important? Shit, yeah, it's important. If you're building something, like when you see the Falcons team next year, they're going to look a lot like they did yesterday. I have a funny feeling when you see the Buccaneers team, they're going to look a lot different than they looked in that last game. I think we're going to revamp the offensive line. We may revamp the defensive line. And I think you're going to see a lot of different faces and a lot of different names. Peyton Barber's another guy. They got to make some decisions on Peyton Barber, whether he's the man. I like Peyton Barber as a football player. He's not an upper echelon running back, but there's not many of those. You just give me a guy who is gonna go out there, play 16 games, not put the ball on the ground. Peyton Barber got the most out of what he was given this year as far as holes. And he runs his ass off. He runs hard as hell. He really does. And yesterday I really thought the Buccaneers, and this is one of these things with Jameis Winston and Monken and others, we never really established the run. You know, that Falcons team yesterday had given up 1,000 yards rushing in the previous 7 games. So everybody's rushing on the Falcons. Just run it down their throat. Run it down the throat and shorten the game. You know, that's what the Baltimore Ravens are doing. They're shortening the game. They're shortening the game. They're not scoring a bunch of points. They're shortening the game and playing defense. And, you know, we score a bunch of points, but, boy, we don't possess the ball enough. We really don't. And looking at that game yesterday, there was probably 3 passes in that game where if you were not a Jameis fan, you would have went, whoa, maybe we shouldn't pull the plug on this cat. There was one to Humphreys in the middle of the field I thought was amazing. Godwin, he had an amazing throw to Godwin. A couple of nice throws to Mike Evans. His deep balls are getting better. And Jameis has improved as he's gone forward. We really have. And when it's all said and done, Jameis, like, he earns everything he gets. And what I mean by that is, like, the Buccaneers score on talent. If you watched the Falcons yesterday, The Falcons score twice on scheme. Like, your coaches can make you better now. When they're running double reverses and throwing back to the quarterback, that's a scheme. When they're running a fake reverse and reversing the guy back, which I've never seen like that before, Grimes, obviously Grimes has never seen it either, because three players in the end zone collided full tilt, and there was two guys standing in the end zone, I mean, literally by themselves. So schematically, we didn't put anybody in the end zone this year. Like, we work hard for our money, it seems like. And that Falcons team is not a good football team now. They're like I said, they're talented, but they're not a great football team. And to see Matt Ryan throw that late interception, I'm a fan of Matt Ryan as a quarterback. I think he has an amazing amount of talent, and he doesn't have to really prove anything to me. I don't like his nickname, Matty Ice, because that should be gone. But Matt Ryan as a football player, as a quarterback, I like him. We missed two-point conversions, which is a big deal at the end of that game. And I said this, and we have Buccaneer fans watching the game with me. And we have people that were optimistic, pessimistic. And when the Falcons got the ball down 32-31 with 5:10 left, and it was an intermission or it was a commercial, everybody's like, what do you think? And I said, I just know this. And you can go back and put my old podcast on from this year. And this is something I've said numerous times. The Buccaneers didn't stop anybody this year when it mattered. Not one time. Did they win a game? Yep. At the end of the game, if it's up to the defense to make a play to get the other offense off the field, the Buccaneers never made it happen this year. And they didn't make it happen yesterday. At the end of the half, the Falcons scored in, like, was it 20-something seconds? Straight down the field. And from that point on, at 17-7, the Buccaneers didn't stop anybody. They didn't stop the Falcons at the end of the half, and the whole second half, they didn't stop them. So where are the adjustments? Where how many times this year as the Buccaneers have we played a half of a game? We played a lot of half games, and it's usually the first half. And that's a coaching thing. Okay, you come out the box with a pretty good game plan. The other team's going to make some adjustments. Then you got to change your game plan a little bit. The Buccaneers usually come out in the second half with the same damn game plan, and they get ate up every time. I don't know if they have enough knowledge to make those adjustments. Because when it's in crunch time, when you see good defenses, when you see great defenses, you go, okay, it's time for so-and-so to make a play. When you look for the old Buccaneers, Warren Sapp's coming. Simeon Rice is coming. Derek Brooks is coming. Rondé Barber's somebody's going to make a damn play. John Lynch, somebody's going to make a play. How many times do you see a ball hit Derek Brooks in his chest at the end of a game? Or Rondé Barber in his chest? Or quarterbacks now second and 25 because Sapp just sacked him? Or what? Listen, we don't make plays at the end of games defensively. And you can't win that way. We scored 31 points yesterday. You're supposed to win. Supposed to win. Offensively, we scored some points this year. It's still missing an attitude, though. The attitude was missing. We didn't impose our will on anybody. Anybody was worth a damn defensively, I didn't think. So looking back to what we got accomplished this year, we got accomplished just enough to get our coach fired. And the bottom line, 5-11 is what we are. It makes me throw up in my mouth when I hear people say, we should have been, this Buck team should have made the playoffs. No, absolutely not. No. You can't lose turnover battles all the time. You can't get outrushed all the time. You can't get outsacked all the time. You can't. You can't do that on a consistent basis and win. Nobody's ever done it. I'm telling you, nobody's ever done it. So this Bucks team is a 5-11 team again. So nobody really goes 5-11 2 years in a row and retains their job. And they really don't. Even somebody like Marvin Lewis, you know, he goes 8-8 and go 9-7 and then go 10-6 and 5-11 2 years in a row. Mm-mm. Nah, that's it's just not good enough. And That's why Dirk Cutter lost his job, because he was only good enough as a skipper to win five games. And the Glazers can't allow that to be good enough. Now the coaches, you know, searches out there. For me, the Buccaneers as an organization, they need something that's going to make a big splash, not just a little splash. They need a big splash. They really do. Who that name is, I don't know if it's an Arians, if it's a McCarthy, if it's Harbaugh, if it's Dabo, I don't know. Whoever it is has to make a big splash. And when you're going out looking for coaches, don't take your time, because there's coaches losing their job all over the place, okay? And the more you take your time, and the Bucks have done this in the past, you drag your feet, and all of a sudden, in 1 week, all the good coaches get gobbled up. Like, good coaches aren't sitting waiting. They get gobbled up. So as an organization, let's make a decision real quick, and let's go, and let's ride with it. And that's it. So we're going to go through another regime again. It just seems like it's the same thing every 3 years, and we got to hit the reset button again. Is it necessary? Yes. Am I excited to see a new product on the field again next year? Yes. The only reason why I'm excited is because the old product it ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. And Dirk Cutter, as much as he fought, don't think he was ready to be a head coach. Raheem Morris wasn't ready to be a head coach. And the next person we bring in, we're going to bring in for the right reason. I don't think we brought Raheem in for the right reason. I don't think we brought Dirk Cutter in for the right reason, obviously. This is from Ian Rappaport. Bruce Arians has said he only would consider the Browns job. And I've heard him say that in the past. So he says, I know Jason Light, so I would listen. That would be interesting. Okay. Ian Rappaport knows what he's talking about for the most part. If he listened, and for what I guess Arian's wife runs a show, which is usually the case, bring her ass to Tampa. Bring her ass here and see what she says. Because once you get on the airport, off that private jet in February, Cleveland? You want to go live in Cleveland? I'd rather lose in Tampa than win in Cleveland. Who wants to go to Cleveland? Ugh. Bring your ass here. Come on. I like Arians, too. I like his style. I like everything about him. He looks like somebody that I would like to fight for. So Arians would be a wonderful name. McCarthy's going to come up, obviously, because his pedigree and his resume. But something needs to happen, and it needs to be big. It needs to be a big splash, because those stands are hideous. The stands are hideous and embarrassing. It's embarrassing because it's been a long time since those stands have been full, and there's been a ruckus here. And, you know, Fitzmagic tried it a little bit at the beginning of this year, but that Fitzmagic has wore off, because at the end of the season, I'm watching him in plain clothes, and I'm like, it's been a long season for us Buccaneer fans, and they all seem long, fortunately or unfortunately. If anybody ever wants to email me, you can email me at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I did get this one question before we wrap this thing up. He said, I made an interesting point about Cameron Brait and the season that he had. What do I think about Cameron Brait in the offseason? I think if you would talk about one player on a team that I thought was disappointing this year, because I don't like all the players. Like, I don't love Donovan Smith, and I don't love the way Gerald McCoy plays, but they weren't disappointing. They just did what they normally do. I didn't think Cameron Brait had a very good season at all. Dropped another ball yesterday. I just thought he was just a guy. With O.J. Howard going down, you on the side of the building, bro. You got to come up with more than that. But other than that, that's what we were. Nobody underachieving, nobody overachieving, just everybody doing what they do. And we got to get to the point where everybody does what they do, we win. We got to get to that point. Anyways, Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. If anybody wants to ever email me and ask me any football questions, this is a year-long podcast. So we don't take time off when the Buccaneers aren't playing. We will talk football. Football doesn't go away, ever. Buccaneer football ain't going away, ever. in the off season. There's more going on sometimes in the off season with combines and a lot of different things that, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm really not. And we'll be talking about the playoffs and everything going on. And like I said, with the Buccaneers, a lot of things are going to be going on here in the next little while. And we'll have some good, interesting guests in the offseason as well. I'll have a little bit more time to bring some people in here and pick their brains and talk some old school football and stuff like that. But I appreciate you guys listening in. This year has been wonderful. Like I said, we ain't going nowhere. Football's still around. And you can never talk football too much. Starting Wednesday, I'm back on air with Ron, 95.3 FM, 620 AM from 3 to 7. If you want to tune us in, we'll be talking obviously a little bit more about what's going on here with the Buccaneers. So appreciate you guys listening in. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, even though the Buccaneers aren't in it. And, you know, football is football. Everybody be cool. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.